Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the post office in Annagry is facing closure, it's emerged. The jury in the trial of Geoffrey Donaldson will resume their deliberations tomorrow. They were sent home just after 4:30 this afternoon. It now seems certain the Rory Gallagher International Festival won't go ahead next year, but follows a major financial setback linked to the collapse of its ticketing provider. And a barrister tells Derry Magistrates Court any attempt to change the date for preliminary inquiry in relation to a priest facing sex offences will be opposed. Also coming up, we have sports news with Mark Gallagher and farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. We begin this evening with confirmation that the post office in Annagry appears to be facing closure. In a number of weeks' time, the current postmistress is set to retire, and while some interested parties have indicated they would like to take over the contract, all say at present the terms and conditions on the table are not sufficient. Local councillor Micheál Cullen-McAspach has secured a meeting with Minister Charlie McConlogue, who has responsibility for postal services. He says every effort must be made to ensure that this vital community service isn't lost.
The post office will close in 6 weeks unless we get somebody who has an interest. Now, there has been a good number of people who have been in contact with Unpost, had discussions with them, but it's not economically viable for them. When you look at what is an offer and you break down between rates and rents and electric and other charges, you'd be working for minimum wage or even less than minimum wage. Now, I've been in contact with Unpost. I had a good conversation with Unpost. The person in charge here doesn't want to see Annagry close, and I believe that. I've been in contact with Charlie McConlogue, who has agreed to have an emergency meeting with me in relation to this. Myself and others from the business community will be meeting with Charlie. I'm hoping to get word today on when that meeting will take place. I spoke to him yesterday and specifically had a good lengthy conversation with him this morning.
Face of it, it seems that what is necessary here is for Minister McConlogue, with responsibility for post offices, to give Unpost the power and the resources to put better financial conditions on the table in order for somebody else to take up this contract. Do you have any faith that that is going to happen?
Well, look, the fact that Charlie's agreed to meet, I am grateful for that. But like I says, this meeting can't be just about just meeting us and hearing what we have to say. We all know the story here. What we need is a meeting, which we're getting, but we need to be leaving that meeting. What solutions and the way forward, and making sure the doors don't close in 6 weeks' time.
And that was Councillor Micheál Cullen-McAspach. The jury in the trial of Geoffrey Donaldson will resume their deliberations tomorrow. The 7 men and 5 women were sent home by Judge Paul Ramsay just after 4:30, following over 3 hours of deliberations at Newry Crown Court. Geoffrey Donaldson denies 18 charges of historic abuse against 2 alleged victims, while his wife Eleanor Donaldson has pleaded not guilty to 5 charges of aiding and abetting. She faces a trial of the facts. It now seems certain the Rory Gallagher International Festival will not go ahead next year in Ballyshannon, following a major financial setback linked to the collapse of its ticketing provider. The company had managed ticket sales for the festival for the past decade, but its liquidation has resulted in the loss of more than €283,000 in revenue just 2 days after this year's event in Ballyshannon. Founder and chairperson Barry O'Neill told this morning's Greg Hughes show the outlook for next year is bleak, but he's hopeful the festival will return in 2028.
I'd say safely now, having been involved and leading the voluntary organisation, I'd say there is not a hope that we will be able to host a festival in 2027. And I'd say that's the biggest music festival in the Northwest that has gone for 2027 as a result of this. There's no one we can blame other than the people who brought this about, the defaulter. And, it's an awful situation, considering that the event is worth between 5 and 7 million to the economy. Over 51% of our visitors that come to the festival uniquely are overseas visitors. I don't know of another event in the countryside that can, half its visitors come uniquely from over 20 different countries across the world annually. So it won't take place in 2027. There's not a hope it'll take place in 2027, because we have to be true to the people who stood by us and ensure that between now and then that all these people who invested their time and energy through the supply of services to the festival, that they are firstly paid before another festival can take place. And, you know, Greg, I know you a long time, and you would know I a long time. I think the first thing is that we need to ensure that that we go into the festival, the next festival, whenever that is. I would assume that it may be 2028, but certainly not 2027.
And that was Barry O'Neill, the organiser of the Rory Gallagher Festival, speaking, as we said, on this morning's Greg Hughes Show. A barrister has told Derry Magistrates Court that any attempt to change the date for a plenary inquiry in relation to a priest facing sex offences would be opposed. Edward Gallagher, 58, of Orchard Park in Lifford in Donegal, had been charged with one count of attempted sexual communication with a child on dates between April 2nd and April 17th, 2025, and seven further offences, including inciting a child to engage in sexual activity and causing a child to watch sexual activity on April 17th last year, as well as charges of possessing indecent images of children. Today's hearing was told a date for a preliminary inquiry had been fixed for July 16th. A prosecutor said the case was in today simply for a review, but he asked for another review as there were some outstanding items. Defence Counsel Stephen Mooney said this was a long-standing case and added any attempt to miss the preliminary inquiry date would be opposed. A further review was ordered for the 2nd of next month. Gardaí have confirmed they're investigating an alleged incident of criminal damage which occurred in Lifford between 6 on Tuesday evening and 25 to midday yesterday morning. The matter is being investigated as a hate crime. The black spray-painted message has been condemned, with local councillor Gary Doherty saying Lifford is a community that includes people of all backgrounds and will not be defined by hatred. The government is being urged to consider a range of emergency measures to tackle homelessness. A new report from the Oireachtas Housing Committee makes 14 recommendations aimed at reducing the number of people without a home. Among them is a call on government to keep the possible reintroduction of a ban on no-fault evictions under review. In the Dáil this afternoon, Sinn Féin finance spokesperson and Donegal TD Piers Doherty clashed with Taoiseach Simon Harris on the issue, saying the cross-party recommendation of a no-fault eviction ban cannot be ignored. Mr. Harris said that's not what the report actually says.
I would just say, and I take the spirit in which the Deputy rightly highlights the important issue of housing, there is no more important domestic issue. It's not true to say that there's a cross-party report that says the government should bring in a no-fault eviction ban. There's a cross-party report that says the committee urges the Minister to keep all options under review, including an emergency ban on no-fault evictions. Of course, government keeps things under review, but please let's not misrepresent the good cross-party work that was done in relation to this report.
Taoiseach, you can't make up your own facts. The committee is very clear. Not enough is being done and we need an emergency response. And you're right, the hearings were held in December, but the committee only lodged their report this morning. See, since December, what's happened? Rents have continued to rise. House prices have continued to rise. Homelessness have broken new records over and over again. And evictions have gone through the roof because of your legislation that allowed landlords to increase rents over and over and over again. Taoiseach, something has to give.
And that was Piers Doherty and Simon Harris speaking in the Dáil earlier today. Earnact has received approval for two new projects, resulting in €1 million of investment for the Northwest City region. Respring's is a 30-month project led by Earnact, working with a number of other organisations, including Donegal County Council and Uthras na Gcuadhada, alongside international partners from Finland and Sweden. The project is intended to develop energy resistance and security, with partners also testing the use of private wire infrastructure to transfer surplus renewable energy and recovered heat from industrial enterprises to power and heat nearby public buildings. DC Nest includes Donegal County Council as an associate partner with the project, led by groups in Finland, Sweden and Iceland. It'll build on Donegal Digital, a public-private partnership led by Donegal County Council supporting digital transformation across the county. A public consultation on proposed changes to urban speed limits will open on Monday. The review covers all public roads in towns, villages and settlements currently operating at 60 kilometres an hour or below. A series of drop-in events will take place across each municipal district to outline the proposals, which include the introduction of several 30 kilometre an hour urban zones. The consultation will also be available online. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council is Councillor Paul Canning.
You get a feel for it, and you get a look at a map, you know, a decent sized map. And there will be a roads engineer at those, and there'll be some that they'll explain, and there'll be questions that can be asked at that point in time. So if a person has concerns, write it out on a bit of paper, take it with you, go to the public service centre and go on and just ask the engineer as to the rationale as to why this is or why this is not, and why maybe your area is not included or why it is included. and you'll get a feedback there and then that might help you then with your submission, or it might alleviate any issues that you do have.
The number of new homes commenced in May was over double the amount for the same period last year, according to new figures released this afternoon by the Department of Housing. It shows a significant increase in notices of construction this year. The number of commencements in Donegal was up. There were 76 commencements in May of 2025. There were 85 commencements last month. With the national picture, here's Molly O'Connor.
Almost 2,100 homes were commenced in May, an increase of 103% on the previous May. This means that since the start of the year, over 13,000 notices of construction have been issued, an increase of over 160% on the first 5 months of 2025. Of the homes commenced in May, 44% are scheme dwellings, 34% are apartments, and 22% are for one-off units. The most units commenced were in Fingal County, followed by Dunleary Rathdown and South Dublin County. Minister for Housing James Brown says the figures indicate that momentum is still moving in the right direction.
Police in Derry City and Strabane investigating a report of theft from commercial premises in Strabane earlier this month have charged two men to appear before Derry Magistrates Court in July. A 19-year-old and a 21-year-old have been charged with theft. They'll appear in court on the 8th of July. The 19-year-old is also set to appear before Strabane Magistrates Court on July 9th for a number of offences, including theft, going equipped for theft, and a number of driving-related offences. The Strabane Town Centre Public Realm Scheme has begun. The regeneration project is set to enhance key streets and public spaces across the town centre. The scheme, which will cost €7 million, is intended to improve the quality, accessibility and appearance of Strabane, creating a more attractive and welcoming environment for residents, businesses and visitors. Planned works will include a new public space at Abercorn Square and improvements to on-street parking and services to support the town's longer-term regeneration. And staffing shortages have temporarily disrupted the availability of computed tomography, coronary angiography services at Letterkenny University Hospital. It means for the foreseeable future that service will be outsourced to other hospitals. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The technology was introduced at Letterkenny University Hospital in May last year, allowing patients to access specialist cardiac imaging locally rather than having to travel to Dublin or Galway. However, the HSE says current operational constraints, including maternity and other leave, have impacted service delivery. To minimise delays, urgent CTCA scans will be outsourced to other hospitals where clinically appropriate, with the arrangement described as temporary. The local service is expected to resume in the coming weeks as staffing levels improve. Patients already accepted for CTCA will remain on the waiting list, while new referrals will continue to be processed during this period.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Approaching 16 minutes to 6 o'clock. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Dunno. Good evening. We'll begin with motorsport. The countdown is on to the start of this year's Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally. Ahead of the start of the action on the stages tomorrow morning, the ceremonial start takes place this evening outside Angrenian Theatre on the Port Road in Letterkenny. The ceremonial start will be live on Highland just after 7 o'clock, and the MC is our own Oisin Kelly. Five-time World Rally Championship event winner Chris Meek is among those trying to challenge three-in-a-row winner Callum Devine for top spot this year. Meek says it will take every ounce of his ability to get the better of the experienced Derry driver.
The stages of Donegal go in roads you would never ever be on. Like, I know the country well, I know the county well, but I haven't never been on these roads. I don't know, so but they offer a very unique challenge, you know, that when you're on bog roads, unexpected bumps at high speed that you can't necessarily see when you're doing a recce, you know, and that's where hopefully my experience of making pace notes over the years will help. But still, I don't underestimate it's going to be a huge challenge. There's going to be corners with gravel pulled out. We all know the weather. It can throw anything at us. So, yeah, it's going to take every ounce of my ability to be even challenged. But that's what I like. I like a challenge.
We will, of course, have live coverage all weekend from the rally here on Highland Radio, starting with that ceremonial start this evening from 7 o'clock on the Score programme. Also on the Score tonight, we'll hear from Declan Boyle to look ahead to tomorrow night's games for Finn Harps and Derry City in the SSE Electricity League. Moving on to soccer, the second round of group games at the World Cup are underway. Czechia's clash with South Africa is approaching half-time, and it is currently Czechia 1, South Africa 0 in Atlanta. Switzerland take on Bosnia-Herzegovina at 8 o'clock, while co-host Canada will be hoping to pick up their first victory when they go up against Qatar from 11. The evening's action is rounded off at 2 a.m. Irish time with the meeting of Mexico and South Korea. Well, new Rangers manager Derek McInnes is being tipped to revive the Glasgow Giants by former striker Chris Boyd. McInnes left Hearts this week and signed a 3-year deal at Ibrox to replace Danny Rowe. Boyd says that Rangers wanted to appoint him back in 2017.
A long time coming. I mean, I think, what, 10, 11 years ago since he first spoke to Rangers when he was at Aberdeen and it didn't materialise. But, you know, I think for Derek, he'd be absolutely delighted. I think he was very unlucky last year. He's shown that he is, you know, a good operator in Scottish football.
Ireland will face Kazakhstan in round one of the playoffs for the 2027 Women's World Cup. Carlow Ward's side will be at home for the second leg of that tie, with the two games to be played in the second week of October. Win that and the Girls in Green will face either Belgium or Poland in a two-legged playoff final. Real Madrid have confirmed the signing of defender Ibrahima Konaté. He has signed a 4-year deal until 2030 after leaving Liverpool as a free agent. Konaté joins Bernardo Silva, whose move to the Bernabeu was confirmed yesterday. In horse racing, there was a fourth place finish for Dylan Brown McMonagall on board Joseph O'Brien's Al Rifa in the Gold Cup at Royal Ascot this afternoon. The big feature race of the festival was won by the AP O'Brien trained Scandinavia, which was rode to victory as a 5-2 favourite by Ryan Moore. Moving on to golf, play at the first round of the US Open was suspended for almost 2 hours due to heavy fog. Rory McIlroy was supposed to get his first round underway at 12:50 in New York, but didn't tee off until 2 o'clock. McIlroy is even par through 9 holes. Speaking ahead of teeing off earlier, Masters champion McIlroy says it will be key to stay calm this weekend.
I think this course, it demands so much patience. It looks like we're going to get some pretty heavy wind for a couple of the days anyway. Like, if you can get your ball into the middle of the greens here and just putt to the corners, wherever the flags are going to be, that's never going to be a bad strategy.
Graham McDowell is 3 over par after 11 holes of his opening round. Finally, in Gaelic games, there are two fixtures on in the Donegal All-County Football League this evening. Division 2 sees the meeting of Mallon and Red Hughes, while in Division 3, Niamh Columbkill are at home to Letterkenny Gaels. That is all from the Sports Desk for now, but don't forget to tune in for the ceremonial start of the Donegal International Rally just after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. First up this week, new figures just revealed show that Donegal has the second highest number of farmers participating in the organic farming scheme. The current scheme has 521 participants in Donegal, with only Cork on 541 having more. Mayo comes third with 472. Not surprisingly, Dublin is at the other end of the scale with just 21 availing of the scheme. There's been a steady increase in the number of farmers getting involved in organic farming in recent years, and as Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden noted, organic farming is acknowledged within the EU as delivering a high level of environmental performance, contributing to soil health, water quality, biodiversity, and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. This year, the government has allocated almost €60 million for the organic farming scheme. Chagas in Letterkenny runs both part-time and distance green cert education courses. Not only can they help you become a trained farmer, they can also open doors to schemes, incentives, and even further education. To tell me a little more, I've been speaking with Patrick Gibbons, Education Officer with Chagas in Letterkenny.
Thank you for inviting us on, Chris. The Green Cert courses, basically it's a Level 5 certificate in agriculture and a Level 6 specific purpose certificate in farming. So I suppose, look, at a lot of the people that's coming to us, they know maybe why they need to do it or why they have to do it. But just to give a broad outline of that, I suppose there's sort of three main reasons why a person might come to us through the course. The first one, we'll be hoping that people would maybe want to learn a wee bit more about farming, whether that be the practicalities of how to look after animals and grow crops, etc. And also maybe to learn a wee bit more about maybe the regulation side of it or the theory side of it as well. So that's what we would cover. So we would see a lot of people, you know, maybe younger people coming to us that's maybe getting involved with the farm at home, or people who want to maybe get involved with farming with a partner at home or something like that. So to learn a wee bit more about the enterprises and how to run them. As well, I suppose, for people maybe inheriting a farm, there's advantages there when it comes to stamp duty and capital acquisitions taxes, and everyone will have different circumstances there, but I know definitely there is people doing courses with us that's going to have reap financial benefits there. The other thing that's in it too, Chris, is people who want to avail of young farmer payments and young farmer schemes. We've sort of seen a fairly attractive young farmer top up there for about the past 10 or 11 years. I know, look, for anyone starting a course now and graduating, they'll probably be hoping to benefit from the new cap in 2028, but there's going to be benefits there as well, we're told. We don't know what it's going to look like yet, but there is going to be benefits there for the young farmer. So what a young farmer basically is in the Department of Agriculture's eyes is anybody that's farming or has a herd number less than 5 years and is under 40. So you know, that's one thing that I'd emphasise to anyone that hopes to get their qualification or complete the education. Don't be in a panic to get your herd number. Come get your qualification. And for a lot of people, time is on their side.
Now, there are a number of courses that people can take, as Patrick further explained.
Basically, the two options that we have for prospective students, Chris, is the part-time and the distance education courses. So our part-time courses, they start in September, and basically they run one day a week from September through until May from the office here in Letterkenny. So they're quite a practical course. We're out to farms quite a bit for completing skills and discussions and things like that. So yeah, there is quite a practical element of it. So the part-time course, it's open to anybody over the age of 2023. Again, anybody that dropped out of the school system early or taught at school or you know, education wasn't for them, this is a practical course, and we try and provide as much help as we can to people. It's not English grammar or maths or anything like that. It's the people understand the basics of farming. That's what's important there. So it's very much open to people of all abilities. It costs €1,900, and we will be hoping to start one of these courses, a part-time course, now in September of 2026. If that course will be of interest to anyone, again, to get in contact with us, I'll give the details now in a minute. The other course then that we have is the distance education course. So this is the exact same qualification. The only thing about it is the delivery is sped up a wee bit. So there's not maybe as much time to go through the actual maybe theory part of it with people. That's left up to people's own time to do that. But look, it's open to anybody that's holding a QQI level 6 qualification. That's the minimum entry requirement. So anybody that has that QQI level 6 or greater. In our distance courses, we'd see quite a lot of trades. People are carpenters, plumbers, electricians. We'd also see guards, nurses, teachers, solicitors, accountants. They would be all the cohort of people that are coming to do our distance education course. And so why it suits a lot of them people, it's a very much shortened time. So it's only 26 contact days over an 18-month period. So how they work out, it's a Friday every 3 weeks, Chris. That option is a wee bit more expensive. It costs $3,250, and we always hope to start a distance course in April of every year. And again, them days that people are in, them 26 contact days, they're busy days. About half of the days are in the classroom doing assessments or covering the essential theory, and the other half of the days are out in farms for the skills, practical discussion group and the like of that as well. As I mentioned before, there's sort of two parts to the course. It runs seamless, but there's a level 5 certificate in agriculture. So the level 5 certificate in agriculture, that is the more basic principles of agriculture, the beef, sheep, husbandry, spraying is covered there, farm safety, all the like of that. And then there's the level 6 part where we went to farm management and animal breeding and environment and more a little bit more complex.
Nowadays, there's a definite pathway when it comes to learning and further education, and this is something that Patrick has noted in recent years.
Something that we're seeing as well, and it's great to see it as well, Chris, is that people are progressing on from us as well. So we generally have an intake of somewhere about 60 students every year, and we would be seeing maybe 4 or 5 students every year are progressing on to higher education, whether that be with the ATU or with the, like a DKIT or different providers like that. So when they leave us, they have their specific purpose level 6, but they go on to these courses where they enter into their advanced level 6 and level 7 and level 8, and the qualification that they've got from us, that allows them to progress into these courses. So it's great to see that as well, that people maybe can further their education and maybe form a career out of agriculture as a result of where they started with us.
So anybody who's interested, they can contact the Chagas. The office number I know is 074912155.
Exactly. I can give my email address as patrick.m.gibbons@chagas.ie. If anybody has any questions, either give a call and they'll probably be put through to me, or send me an email and we will do our best to answer them. We have a team of education officers here. There's myself and Kevin McManaman and Francis Doherty and Fintan Griffin. So we would deliver the courses. But if anyone has any questions, or again, maybe knows some of the lads, don't be afraid to ask questions, and we'll do our best to endeavour to point people in the right direction, Chris.
And that was Patrick Gibbons, Education Officer with Chagas in Letterkenny. The ICSA Animal Health and Welfare Chair John Barron has welcomed the launch of the 2026 Biosecurity Targeted Advisory Service for Animal Health, and is encouraging cattle and sheep farmers to make the use of the free veterinary service available under the scheme. He said this scheme gives farmers access to veterinary advice at no cost. The scheme includes a farm visit and consultation with a trained veterinary practitioner covering parasite control, TB biosecurity and disease prevention measures. Finally, a date for the diary. The 34th Finn Valley Agricultural Show is on Saturday, June the 27th at the Russell Brothers Farm in Killigordon, and a huge range of classes and activities have been lined up. We'll have more on that in next week's programme. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening from me, Chris Ashmore. Until the next time, goodbye.
Mainly dry this evening with just a few showers. Tonight, cloudy with rain developing, becoming heavy at times in lows. Temperatures 11 to 14 degrees Celsius. Light to moderate southerly winds. A wet start tomorrow. Through the late morning and early afternoon, the rain will become patchy and gradually clear eastwards with showers following from the west, some possibly heavy. Top temperatures tomorrow 16 to 19 degrees Celsius with light to moderate southwest winds. Looking at the closing headlines on this Thursday evening here on Highland Radio, the post office in Annagree is facing closure in a number of weeks. The current postmistress is set to retire. A number of interested parties have spoken to OnPost, but they all say the current terms and conditions wouldn't be sufficient for them to take the job on. Local councillor Micheál Conabilla-Aspig is set to meet with the postal minister Charlie McConnell to discuss the issue. The jury at the trial of Geoffrey Donaldson has been sent home. They'll resume their deliberations tomorrow. The seven men and five women were sent home after over 3 hours of deliberation at Newry Crown Court this afternoon. And it now seems certain the Rory Gallagher International Festival won't go ahead next year. It follows a major financial setback linked to the collapse of its ticketing provider. The company had managed ticket sales for the festival for the past decade, but its liquidation resulted in the loss of more than €283,000 in revenue just 2 days after this year's event in Ballyshannon. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. In the interim, check all today's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, June the 18th. The death has occurred of Charlie Connolly, Sunningdale, Oma, and formerly of Garva, Blaine, Castlederg. Charlie's remains were reposed at his late home from 7:30 this evening and from 12 p.m. to 10 past 10 tomorrow. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 10 a.m. in the Sacred Heart Church, Oma, with burial afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Drumrah. The death has taken place of Conall McFadden of Crawley, Gidore, and formerly of Carrickboyle, Derrybeg. His remains will repose at his home in Crawley tomorrow and Saturday from 12 noon to 8 p.m. Rosary nightly at 8 p.m. House private after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Connell's funeral mass will take place on Sunday at 11 a.m. in St. Columbkill's Church, Crookfulla. Burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the church webcam via MCN Media. Family Flowers only, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty funeral directors. The death has occurred of Margaret Duffy, Rashini, Clonmany. Margaret's remains will leave the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny this evening at 7 p.m, going to her home. Funeral arrangements are to be confirmed later. The death has occurred of Bridie McDermott, 13 Willow Grove, Buncrana. Bridie's remains will be reposing at her home today. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. to St Mary's Church Cock Hill for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu, if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Sean Murphy funeral directors. The death has taken place of John Cox, Ards, Creasla. His remains are reposing at his late residence today until 10 p.m. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow at 11 a.m, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.